JJ at its most extreme, it's obviously, you know, a manifestation in the most violent form of the opposition to immigration and a reinforcement of this notion of white supremacy in this particular instance. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised because this has this is the type of action that it's come to. We saw similar instances with the Tree of Life, a very similar profile. And so I'm not surprised that someone of this bent would choose to express themselves in the most heinous and violent of ways, which maybe is most telling that we're no longer surprised by such types of actions.
Bruce, what do you think is behind what appears to be an increase or rise in the number of cases like this? I certainly know that having spoken with folks from the FBI here and in security circles from other nations, they are very much concerned about people who are avowed racists rising up and launching attacks like this.
I think to answer your question is what's behind this and what drives it. It's a complicated issue, obviously. On the surface, we look at this and we say, well, obviously this is, you know, somebody who's mentally insane. But when you start to peel back the layers of the onion, you realize that a number of issues come together here. One of the things most notably that we're seeing as a constant hallmark in these attacks is either the use of online media or online sources to either give rise to, in this case, extremism, in other instances, radicalism. But the other thing that we're seeing too is that the technology, which is so readily available to all of us, provides an instant platform.
And what does the creation of that platform do?
It makes an instant celebrity of the worst kind, if you will, of someone who tries to carry these attacks out. And in this case, I have to ask myself, look, unlike somebody who is engaged or intent on committing suicide after they do this, the last few acts, the individuals have survived and intended, indeed, in several instances, sought to escape. So it suggests to me that what they're trying to do is highlight their own persona to perhaps even more so than the very causes of hatred that they espouse. That, to me, is what the troubling factor is because we're seeing the aftermath of this, the difficulty in taking down this kind of online videos once they get out there, which is continuing to perpetuate both the damage and reinforce the message. The other thing is that in doing so, clearly, you know, there are casual observers, again, bent, who want to see these kinds of things, but it is also planting the seeds for the next attacker from tomorrow that says, that could be me. That could exemplify me as an individual.
So it's clear this kind of thing can't be prevented because there's always going to be one person at least out there, somebody that gets through and does something like this. The question I would have to ask you is, how do you mitigate it?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, JJ. Unfortunately, this is very similar to when we were talking about the Tree of Life. You know, there's no walking this phenomenon back. Again, very complicated issue, not just as we're seeing in the United States in terms of the role of the availability of guns, but you're seeing that in another country. So as long as individuals have access to weapons of some sort or another, and let's point out not just firearms, because somebody else would just simply up the game, the ability to stop this is unfortunately at least non-existent to my mind. The way we have to mitigate this is this. In this particular instance, I was kind of shocked that in light of the Tree of Life and other similar type of attacks, there was only one way in, one way out. And the doors and windows in this place were barricaded. So to me, and the guy walked in and found literally target-rich environment. You know, one of the things that I've always advocated is that we can't rely on a single point of solution, whether it's an armed officer on site or anything else. We've got to have a combination of things. In this case, you know, we're seeing places of worship in particular, and that's what I'm going to confine these comments to, is that we've got to start not only with the proactive measures, meaning the awareness, the alertness, having somebody positioned, and not necessarily an armed officer, but we really are going to have to start looking at houses of worship to start to build in these defensive mechanisms, in that you have the physical security measures, the design. In the same way we have designs that, you know, reflect the religious functions of those particular buildings and or complexes, we're going to now have to start really building into that those physical security features that start to try to at least mitigate it in the same way we do building in a sacred worship space, if you will.
Bruce Alexander, president of Security One Solutions. JJ Green, WTOP News.